All right, well, it comes to that time for our talker tonight, and I've had the pleasure of knowing him for a few years now from class, huh? Forever?
4 years.
I said a few years. I couldn't remember how many years. Forever, because he's really old. He's a lot older than I, than all of us here, actually. But no, David has so many inspiring things to say sometimes, and sometimes even when he's just being quiet, he's got a lot to say. And I'm really looking forward to hearing his talk. So let's please welcome David Bali.
Interesting how things seem to fall into place, including this tonight's service, which Lindy has alluded to, which is also going to be included as part of my speech. And funny how the songs, too, tend to coincide and play along with those things, because today is, well, let's just say, tis the season, hopefully the holiday season is going well for you so far, because tis the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la, right? Tis the season for God's creations to retreat also. As I was watching the whales migrate this afternoon, I sit by this huge picture window at work. All day long, I better stare at the ocean. And for the last several weeks, I've been watching these spouts, these whales migrating, just kind of floating along, enjoying life. So, 'tis the season for God's creations to retreat, because that is the time of the year. Same with flora and fauna. Isn't it just amazing how these things just, by season, by God's law, that every year these things, let's just say the bears, they go into hibernation. The flora and fauna, they go dormant, they retreat. It's interesting to me that how these things follow the same laws every single year. So 'tis the season for these things to occur. Well, 'tis the season by the human species, though, for Christmas fun and frolic, a period in which we give thanks for our blessings and meals. Symbolically, we give thanks for the birth of Christ in the form of gifts for others. And finally, we get together with friends and family, all those folks that we tend to postpone, and finally say, okay, after a year, you do get together. I know I find myself finally doing that. 'Tis the season for sitting by the fireside, drinking your hot chocolate, eggnog, or whatever libation of your choice, especially during these fierce winters that we have. That's right. 'Tis the season for decorating your trees, bringing your house to life with its Christmas lights, and watching another Charger loss. 'Tis the season for football. 'Tis the season for bringing joy to the world in the form of Christmas caroling around the neighborhood, bringing a smile to someone's loneliness. 'Tis the season for those who are suffering, whether in illness, suffering financially, and as I said, in loneliness. All these are opportunities, I find, to put into practice the spiritual development learned in this spiritual frat house of ours, this wonderful church of ours, Millie's Church. And while we spend the season in frenzy as we avoid being mowed down by those competing for those, as Dan Hare described in his last talk, stuff. I don't get it. I don't get Black Friday. And quite frankly, I have no use for that, because there's much more to life than really going after that great big sale or that television. For me, I find that this time of the year is really a quality time. And it's really, I spend an immense amount of time in quiet introspection, retreating into myself. And just as the animals, the species, flora and fauna, I find this really a challenging time to develop spiritually. To me, The retreat and migration of the animal species, the dormancy of flora and fauna, really is a metaphor for us. And it's a gift from God. And that's the way I see it. And so what am I speaking about? Well, during this period, there's a tendency for us to really focus on our friends, our family, giving gifts, and all that's wonderful. It's exactly what you want to do. But Lindy, in her prayer, she started out with, just as the airlines dictate to you to, before you can really help others, you must help yourself. Put the oxygen mask on first before you can really help others. And so that's what I find, that this time of the year, really, that many forget that there's really something wonderful out there, somebody that you really need to focus on, somebody that you need to nurture, somebody that really brings much love in your own life. One of my most favorite milieisms is, you know, you're stuck with you for the rest of your life, for an eternity. And what I'm speaking about is, this time of year is to focus on you and that spiritual development. And that's what I like to do this time of the year. I'm not so much focused on, what am I going to get for Christmas? I don't have a need for that necessarily. If somebody wants to give that to me, well, bless their heart. So during this period, there's something that I actually touched upon in a previous speech, and something that I like to practice. There's a triad of things that I do as I go about my daily business. And what those three things are, I've stated previously, and that's rejoice always. Much easier said than done. Rejoice always. Be happy. Or be happy towards someone, or be happy for someone. Rejoice always. I had a very difficult time not too long ago, a couple of weeks or several weeks ago, of really experiencing that rejoice myself. For I've always prided myself of not necessarily getting sick, especially over the last 20 years or so. I think I've gotten sick maybe once, twice, but it's rather fascinating how it was, I think, a Wednesday, the week after my birthday. My birthday was on the 19th, and 3 days later, my wife and I, we decided that we're going to do some improvements to the house. And yet, on that very day, I get home, and it's interesting how you do get messages from above, from others. And as I sat down on the sofa, the minute I sat down, I was told, you're going to get sick. I'm like, I'm going to get sick, I thought to myself. Damn it, I'm going to get sick, among other expletives. Not now, seriously, why now? Because we had decided that in all of our rooms, in all of the spaces and throughout the house, we had the cottage cheese, or what others have said, popcorn ceiling. So we decide that we're going to scrape all the ceilings the week of Thanksgiving. Great timing. The week I decide that I'm supposed to be sick, and I was floored for 2 weeks. Anytime I've ever gotten sick in the past, and I'm whining, yes, there's people that have it much more difficult than I do, but nonetheless, for me, it was rather earth-shattering that, well, wait a minute. First of all, you get this message, you know a day in advance that you're going to be sick. Furthermore, we decide we're going to scrape the ceilings, and in order to do that, you have to wet all the ceilings. And so that evening, I'm laying in bed, feeling the dampness, feeling like I'm actually outside in the mountain or in the cold. So we proceed to have this done, and then 2 days later, I am just floored. Nonetheless, I still go to work every day. But in the process, we're moving furniture. We're having to move everything outside into the garage. We rent this pod in order to move stuff because we have limited storage in our house. Then comes Thanksgiving. I try very difficult, very hard to have a good time, and I do nonetheless. And we sit down, have Thanksgiving. I'm at the dinner table, enjoying myself, trying to stomach some food. I was able to eat a little bit of food, but I think my stomach has shrunk to the point where you can only fit so much. So, but I was still not feeling that well, and I tend to get very grumpy when I'm not 100% and tend to say things that I shouldn't be saying or blurting out expletives and not being kind as I should be to my wife and others. Nonetheless, that wasn't the end of it. So into the second week of my illness here, I'm not seeing any improvement. In fact, I think Beth got to the point where I think you've got pneumonia, or others were telling me, no, you've got bronchitis. You need to take antibiotics. You need to do this. You need to do that. It's like, oh, gosh, just leave me alone. So I lived for 2 weeks. I lived on cough medicine and acetaminophen, and I did not take any antibiotics. So the following week, we decide that all the wood floors are going to be refinished. Great. Great timing. Thank you very much. Seriously. So, second week into my illness, we're just moving some of the furniture back in because the bedrooms are going to remain carpeted. Everywhere else, it's going to be wood. So I'm moving sofas and units and desks and computers and what have you. And mind you, I'm in the midst of two projects which have to be completed by the end of the year and into the city because come January, codes change and everything about the building has to be reworked and revisited. So I'm under the gun with these two projects, sick as a dog or sick as whatever gets that sick, moving furniture, and on top of all that, in order to complete my work, I can't be set up in this warm, heated home. I am out in the garage where, right, I think we're in the midst of one of the coldest spells we've had so far this year. Temperatures were dipping down in the 40s, high 30s. So I'm sitting in the garage where I shouldn't be with this illness, working and trying to, and clicking on that mouse, you know, and as it's freezing up, I'm having to periodically just warm it up on the space heater that I've got by my side, working away, trying to get my work. And I tend to get up early, 3:30, 4 in the morning, and I go straight to the computer and start working. Well, you know, in the garage, at that hour, 39, 40 degrees, it's not a pleasant experience, and I don't wish that upon anyone. So it kind of makes me feel really that much more for those homeless who find themselves out in the cold. But I survived. I got through it, that ordeal. And I realize now that, you know, that I probably had to go through that. This humbling experience, and I learned to appreciate those who really have it much worse than I do. I really do have it pretty well enough. And there's those who are suffering financially or with other ailments, and you know, I've got my own financial struggles, but you know, I'm getting by. So there's that experience, and I've learned that, okay, well, you know, pray without ceasing. The other thing, the next thing is, well, there's rejoice always, but yeah, pray without ceasing. Easier said than done? No, it's very easy just be in the shower, for instance, and really think great thoughts of others. Be in the garden, tending to your garden. It's a great period of, for me at least, where I tend to the soil, get the soil nourished, get it ready for spring. Plant all my bulbs. I certainly spend a heck of a lot of time out in the yard just really getting it ready. And I see that, again, as a metaphor, as something that we all should be doing, is developing our own, nurturing our own cell. And then there's give thanks in all circumstances, for that is the will of God in you, and that is exactly what I went through in that whole ordeal, is learning that it wasn't a negative necessarily, but there's positives to be gained to be garnered from a negative. From every action is an equal and opposite reaction, and it certainly was something for me to learn, to realize, to recognize that, you know, you've got it pretty well, and so there, you don't need to be whining, and you don't need to be really remarking in such a horrible way to others, and learning to really refrain and accept that and forgive and saying I'm sorry to others. So this is a great period for me in terms of developing spiritually and who I want to be and what I want to be and how I want to share myself with others and making the commitment, the lifelong commitment to this church and how I really want to be a part of it for the remainder of my life. And so I'll leave with you this really a short and sweet talk, but something that I'd love for all to practice, to put into practice, because it's worked for me. Those three things in action has really equaled a positive change for me in not only who I am, but certainly getting over a lot of the, and I know some of you have heard my last speech, but really it's been a release, and I certainly would love for others to put into practice. Pray without ceasing, always. Give thanks in all circumstances, for that is the will of God in you. And rejoice always, in as much as it may be very difficult at times, but you can do it. And as Matt would say, that's it.
Oh, that was really great, David. Thank you for sharing. I like that he called us a frat house. That cracked me up. I'm going to use that. Don't tell Ellie.